Let's hear from Andy Robertson, the man in charge at Family Gamer TV. I called up with him just before he hit the show floor at E3, and I promise this will be the last time we talk about E3 for now. I asked Andy why he felt the need to actually be in Los Angeles at the show.
A lot of the big news of the year gets broken at E3, so there's a sort of a scoop angle to it. So if you're here on the ground, not only do you hear it in the press conferences, but then you can head straight to the show floor and get hands-on. And I think particularly for families, a lot of games obviously have these toys with them. So just seeing a video doesn't really sort of paint the full picture. So for sort of my viewers and readers, I sort of give them that extra, I guess, view on things by actually having hands-on with the toys and with the games.
Well, you've talked about the Games to Life market and the way that toys like the Amiibo sets and the Disney's Infinity and, the Heavens, the one from Activision, the name of which escapes me temporarily. The
Skylanders.
Thank you, Skylanders fits into that. But you also go to the big toy fairs where people like Lego are, and they're talking about the video games that they're doing. So which makes more sense for you, to be at E3, to be at the toy shows, or to be at both of them? Do you have to cover the lot?
I started out by, you know, only focusing on E3 and video games, but as the toys have become a more of a significant part of that gaming experience for families, I've started going regularly now to, say, the New York Toy Fair, and so that's a regular sort of junket in my calendar as well. But really still, E3 is the place where the big news is sort of made public, and so rather than the toy fairs, it is still the video game shows where the publishers are choosing, you know, to target that audience. And we'll be seeing lots over these 3 days from Disney Infinity, from Activision with Skylanders, and obviously the new kid on the block at Lego Dimensions.
What are you expecting to see? What are you really looking forward to see? Is it Lego Dimensions?
I'm fascinated by Dimensions, but I'm a bit of a Star Wars fan, so this year Star Wars coming to Disney Infinity free, I'm really looking forward to having sort of a bit more hands-on time. That's been announced. I had a little sort of tinker with it, but I've not really had proper time to sit down with all the play sets and all the characters, and that's what I'll be getting at E3, so I'm really excited about that.
And of course, this is going to be the year of Star Wars when it comes back into the cinemas with film number 7. They need to tie that all together. So do you think they're going to be at Comic-Con as well? They're going to be at Gamescom? They're going to be at the toy fairs? The big publishers have to make a very big commitment in terms of time and resources to actually going to these sorts of events, don't they?
Yeah, they're sort of straddling two markets by sort of toy comics and video games. Obviously, the benefit there is that they're selling to free markets, but at the same time, they have to publicise and make sure that those people who are fans of those franchises know what's coming. But I've been impressed with Infinity this year, because, you know, having Star Wars in, they could easily have sat back on their laurels and thought, well, Star Wars is going to sell itself, isn't it? But there's quite a lot of new stuff in the game as well, and also they've been really aggressive on pricing, so I think there's a good value story there too.
Uh-huh. Which bit of Star Wars are we talking about? Is this Rebels that they're showing at the moment? Are they showing anything from the new film that you actually can't talk about?
No, but I think, you know, if they did show anything from the new film, people would talk about it, even if they told them not to. So we've seen, if I can get the names right, Rise Against the Empire, which is a playset that covers episodes 4, 5, and 6. We've seen Twilight of the Republic, which is episodes 1, 2, and 3. And we've also seen some characters from Star Wars Rebels as well, which will be interoperable with those other playsets, but not actually having their own adventure to sort of experience on their own.
Tell me that Chopper is one of the characters in the Rebels sets, would you? Is he there?
I don't know.
He's the one who looks like a little R2 unit.
I don't think he's announced yet. But there's a lot of scope here, because even if he's not an actual figure, they've got the power discs as well, which can do costume changes and sidekicks. And so I think a lot of those periphery characters, and maybe Jar Jar Binks even, will be appearing on those power discs. And this year it's quite nice, they've done away with those blind packs. So rather than having to buy loads and loads to get the one you want, you just can see them straight before you're buying them and make an actual choice.
Now, there's a value proposition that's come
exactly
from complaints for parents, isn't there?
That's right, yes. And also, just to complete that sort of story, is you don't have to buy a starter pack this year for Disney Infinity. You can just, if you've got that base already, you can just download the new game for, you know, around about half the price and choose the playset you want to play with. And then you're off and running. You don't have to buy a second sort of USB portal.
You are going out there with a video camera sort of in hand or on a tripod or however it works for you. And you have to target your time and sort of build a schedule of who you're going to see and what you're going to see and when you're going to see it. How much room is there around the edges for walking down the aisle and thinking, that, what is that? Should I be looking at that? Because that's one of the big things at a show, isn't it? Coming across something you hadn't expected.
Yeah, I think the first few years I came, I just had back-to-back meetings, so I just went from one thing to the next and actually didn't leave myself the walking time required because it's a really big space. So to go from one end of the sort of West Hall to the other end of the South Hall can take you 10 minutes. So I leave a bit of space to get from one appointment to the next. But equally, I don't pack out my schedule nearly so much as I did previously because that is important. There's lots of games here that I really won't have heard of. You can't keep track of every single game, and so to be able to have some time to walk the halls and to sort of encounter games you weren't expecting to see, you know, is a big part of the experience.
And that's probably also part of the thing that attracts companies to these kinds of events, is knowing that there will be people moving between units on their way to meetings who might see something that might catch their eye and that might get some editorial space somewhere. It's as important for the people who are showing as it is for you guys who are there to see, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's true, and it's nice. I think E3 is quite a leveller. You know, you get everyone in these massive halls, and really anyone who's got an interesting proposition and an unusual idea and experience to play is going to attract sort of press attention. And I always spend some time at the Indiecade booth, where they have small independent game developers, and some of the most exciting games I've come across, you know, in addition to those big commercial propositions, are the sort of the one-man band that has got something really unusual. And I enjoy sort of connecting those with families, because that's the stuff that families won't come across on the high street.
Andy Robertson there.